If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Program every Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. here on the Conservative Nation Radio Network, conservativenationradio.org. Please go there, bookmark, visit regularly, tell your friends and family, spread the word. Facebook, of course, we're also there, Conservative Nation Radio. I have my own page on Facebook, of course, at Manti Show. Twitter, us at CNR Show. We're getting a lot of publicity the past couple days, which is totally awesome. And I'm very happy about that. Please give me a call, 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176, or email me if you would like, christopher@conservativenationradio.org. All right, and that's good. Of course, presented to you, as always, here in the Trinity Media Studios by trinitymediaonline.com. Check them out. On Facebook and Twitter as well. Check it. Thank you for doing that. Thanks for joining me. As always, this is the 7th day of June, 2013, and we are a nation in trouble. But you knew that probably. Real quick, I wanted to do a quick segment here about the what I'm calling enemies without and enemies within. And then we're going to get started on something that could be super cool or super tedious, I'm not sure, but I think it has to be done, and that is going through the book of Revelation, line by line, verse by verse. You could say it's a teaching of the book, which is fine, so I am fine with that. I've read it enough times for crying out loud. Hopefully the Holy Spirit will be with me and enlighten you. Tell you what time we're at here in this world. Okay, so I hope to get to that at 5, after the 5:15 break. Give that a shot. All right, again, this is the Manti Show, Conservative Nation Radio, 718-305-7176, phone number. So, quick summary, the past couple of months here. I believe we are a nation under judgment. September 11th was a sign, and it was something that God allowed. He did not cause it. We did not bring it upon ourselves, but he allowed it. He allowed a breach in our defenses, an opening in our hedge of protection that we've enjoyed for lo these many years, basically without interruption. And the way we responded to it just so happened to be exactly how ancient Israel, the house of Israel, responded to the same things happening to them 3,000 years ago. Parallels are uncanny, beyond uncanny there. they're direct, they're divine. So again, that has to do with Isaiah chapter 9 and The Harbinger by Jonathan Cahn. Highly recommend you pick up, if not the whole story, just the companion called Harbinger Companion and Study Guide. Anyway, point is, that was a sign. How we reacted to it was very bad. We have not learned. We have not repented. We have not changed. We have not turned back to the Lord. So he's allowing enemies ever since that day to dig at us and to bring down the nation because we won't repent. And there's a lot of things to repent for, by the way. But again, this is just the outward sign. So I'm, as you see, the outward enemy from without, enemy from without is Islam. I don't care if you call it radical Islam or not, or jihadists, or whatever kind of descriptor you want. The point is, it's Islam in its truest form is a political movement who cannot tolerate any dissent, so it converts or kills. Those are your options under Islam. So that's an enemy without. We've never been anything close, remotely close to an Islamic nation or have any type of Islamic influences on us. But ever since 9/11, we've been infiltrated. And that continues with, obviously, several attacks since then and many cells on our soil. That brings me to the other enemy that we are dealing with right now, which is enemy within. Enemy within is a tyrannical, progressive, leftist, socialist movement that is, as I said today on Twitter, actually, I said it's going for the kill, not only in America, but throughout the world. And you see it down to the state level, down to the local level. In my state, Delaware, there's been several. It moves in that direction just in the past 10 days. For instance, we now must have non-gender bathroom rules. Not to say there's going to be a third bathroom. It means if you are a, quote, confused individual or a transgender, you can use any bathroom you want. You can't be told to leave. You imagine all the can of worms that that's opening up. Point is, it's just another sign. It's the enemy within. And, of course, our ultimate enemy is Satan, the devil. But he's behind both, of course, movements, the progressive movement and the Islamic. But the goal, of course, is to destroy the church. Again, convert or kill. And we see, obviously, there's scandal after scandal after scandal. I've told you in this program how it's all about eroding the Bill of Rights. What makes us unique in world history, basically, is the Bill of Rights. And how that's being systematically attacked on purpose. Our First Amendment, speech, religion, the press, a peaceful assembly petitioning the government. Second Amendment rights to bear arms. Fourth Amendment rights are now dead. I don't know how else to phrase it. This situation that we are in the past 24 hours about the all these revelations about domestic spying, the NSA, and of course the IRS stuff you know about. And it's all about targeting your enemies. And now there's a story that it's tough to verify, but it's kind of making the rounds this afternoon. It's by a guy named Doug Hagman, who writes for the Canada Free Press, but that site has actually been very good in as far as liberty issues. And the headline is DHS Insider to Homeland Security. DHS Insider, it's about to get very ugly. And if I have time, I'm going to real quick read through this article, and then we'll take a break. Here it is. Something quite unexpected. This is on CanadaFreePress.com, DHS Insider. It's about to get very ugly. Doug Hagman. Something quite unexpected happened just hours ago. This was written earlier today. So this was last night. This is an account of last night. Something quite unexpected happened just hours ago. In the dark of night during a two-day layover in Washington, D.C., my son and I are scheduled to take part in a seminar outside of Raleigh, North Carolina this weekend, so we combined our travels to include a side trip to D.C. for a business meeting we had previously arranged. It was during this layover that something seemingly ripped from the pages of a spy novel took place. While I was in the middle of a perfectly good and well-needed sleep in the early hours of this morning, I received a message. I cannot disclose how I received the message, at least not now. The discerning reader will understand why, which, by the way, would make a very interesting story alone. The message was extremely clear and precise. I was to meet my high-level DHS insider at a very specific location in Washington, D.C., at a time when most normal people, except third-shift workers, are still asleep. And I was to come alone and make certain that it was not being followed, and I was to leave my cell phone or electronic device behind. Seriously, I thought, as I was trying to make sense of it all, is this really necessary? Is this really happening? I considered waking my son to accompany me, but opted to follow the instructions to the letter. Besides, I thought, he's not the most affable middle-of-the-night person. I left a hastily written but detailed note in my hotel room before my departure in the event something happened. I looked at the digital clock on my rental car. It said 3:20 a.m. I felt like I was part of a spy movie set in our nation's capital. A chill rose up my spine as I waited in the dark of a chilly, misty, foggy pre-dawn morning. I was to meet with my DHS insider source at a time when most of the nation is asleep, at a place I could swear was featured in the movie All the President's Men. No one, and I mean no one, knows I'm here, I thought, as I could see one of the most recognizable national landmarks in the distance. My source appeared out of nowhere, or so it seemed, and handed me a cup of coffee with the astute observation that I looked like I needed it. So tell me, I asked impatiently, why do we have to meet at this time, at this location, and under such specific circumstances? Because this might be our last meeting, he said. Maybe it was the lack of sleep, the time, the place, the chill of the misty rain that caused my sense of foreboding. Explain, I asked in an almost demanding tone. So he did, without mincing words. Quote, if anyone thinks that what's going on right now with all this surveillance of American citizens is to fight some sort of foreign enemy, they are delusional. If people think that this scandal can't get any worse, it will, hour by hour, day by day. This has the ability to bring down our national leadership, the administration, and other senior elected officials working in collusion with this administration, both Republican and Democrat. People within the NSA, its National Security Administration, the Department of Justice, and others, they know who they are, need to come forth with the documentation of, quote, policy and practice in their possession, disclose what they know, fight what's going on, and just do their job. I've never seen anything like this, ever. The present administration is going after leakers, media sources, anyone and everyone who is even suspected of, quote, betrayal. That's what they call it, betrayal. Can you believe the size of their cojones? This administration considers anyone telling the truth about Benghazi, the IRS, hell, you name the issue, betrayal, he said. We know all this already, I stated. He looked at me, giving me a look I've never seen, and actually pushed his finger into my chest. And he said, you don't know Jack. This is bigger than you can imagine, bigger than anyone can imagine. This administration is collecting the names of sources, whistleblowers, and their families, names of media sources, and everybody they talk to and have talked to. And they already have a huge list. If you're not working for MSNBC or CNN, you're probably on that list. If you're a website owner with a brisk readership and a conservative bent, you are on that list. It's a political dissident list, not an enemy threat list, he stated. What exactly does that mean, being on that list? I asked, trying to make sense of it all. It means that there will be censorship under the color of authority of anyone in the United States who is attempting to expose what's going on in our name. It's about controlling any damning information from reaching epidemic proportions. It's damage control to the extreme. It's about upcoming censorship of the internet in the name of national security. The plans are already in place. These latest reports about spying eyes have turned this administration and others connected to it into something very, very dangerous. They feel cornered and threatened. And I'm hearing about some plans they have to shut down the flow of information that is implicating them of wrongdoing. Time is short, he stated. And with that, I have to take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or infringing the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Fillets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Awesome.
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah.
We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Welcome back. Welcome. Broadcasting live from the Trinity Media Studios.
Here's your host, Manti.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. It is I, Manti, your host. 718-305-7176 is the phone number. 718-305-7176. Manti Show is here till 7 p.m. every Friday. 7 p.m. Eastern, of course. Here on Conservative Nation Radio Network, conservativenationradio.org. Thanks for listening in. And I knew I wouldn't get to the end of that article, so I'm going to continue with it here. However, I almost forgot. I'm not the only show on this network. We have a program coming up tomorrow called New Wise Conservatism, and you would be wise to listen to it. It is pretty clear that the switch is on here to conservativenationradio.org, and we just don't mean listeners. Robert Garding's New Wise Conservatism show now comes to you on conservativenationradio.org every Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 o'clock Central Time. Robert has always had a big internet following, so listen tomorrow and you'll find out why. Thousands love his brand of New Wise Conservatism, and you will too. New Wise Conservatism Show with Robert Garding, Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 o'clock Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. So thank you for listening to that. And again, this is the Manti Show. It is Friday. Don't be confused. So let me finish up this article from this DHS insider. And we are getting information that is spreading around right now that this guy is for real, so I'm going to continue and just finish up what he said, and then we'll get on to my book of Revelation, which is extremely timely, I believe. Okay, so we're talking about what does this all mean. Let me just repeat the last couple of sentences. It means there will be censorship under the color of authority of anyone in the U.S. who is attempting to expose what's going on in our name. It's about controlling any damning information about reaching epidemic proportions. It's damage control to the extreme. It's about the upcoming censorship of the internet in the name of national security. The plans are already in place. These latest reports about spying eyes have turned this administration and others connected to it into something very, very dangerous. They feel cornered and threatened. And I'm hearing about some plans that they have to shut down the flow of information that is implicating them of wrongdoing. Time is short, he stated. How are they going to do this? How is that even possible? I asked. First, they intend to use the Justice Department to silence journalists, like in the Rosen case, but they won't stop there. They will use a host of national security policies, laws, letters, whatever it takes to get to take out the bigger threats. Next, they will use some sort of an excuse, an external threat. I believe it will be a combination of the economic collapse and a Mideast war that will begin in Syria to throttle the information that is accessible on the internet. Let me repeat that. They will use an excuse, and I believe it will be a combination of the economic collapse and a Mideast war that will begin in Syria to throttle the information that is accessible on the internet. And you know what? People will believe it. As the words of this source in the DHS. He continues, based on what I've seen, most of which I should not have seen, the DHS, Department of Homeland Security, is coordinating efforts with the other federal agencies to begin to threaten American citizens with incarceration for noncompliance. You know the old talk of color-coded lists? Well, this is what they will be using. People exposing the truth about Benghazi, killing the U.S. dollar, even those questioning Obama's legal status and eligibility to be president are the current targets. And they've had 5 long years to get to this point. The ugly truth is that these policies and practices did not start under Obama, but long before. This is about the killing of our constitutional republic, the murder of our country, and the stripping of our rights. While many have been preoccupied with one issue, few have seen the bigger issue. This is the end game for all the marbles, he stated. Please, pleaded my source, get this information out while you can. Tell people what I'm saying, that we don't have much time. That after the latest exposure of spying, Obama, Jared, Axelrod, and the others, including members of Congress, have put their plans into high gear. This is about the Marxist takeover of America. This is about our country being able to survive another July 4th holiday. This is about a world war about to break out that will kill millions of people. All because of the agenda of this administration. They are very dangerous and will do anything and everything to stop the onslaught of negative information that's being reported by the mainstream media. But only about 1/4 of the real information is being reported. The other 3/4 will be the game changer. But first, tell people what I've said. Let them know more will follow, but get this information out right now while the internet is still relatively free. Do it today. My source provided additional information, but I am abiding by his wish to get out this much out. I am writing now to let people know that we are in for seriously dangerous times ahead. Deadly times. War. Censorship under the color of authority and under the pretext of national security. It's about to get a lot uglier. Stay tuned. That is the view, that is the report of a reporter for Canada Free Press called Doug Hagman from Washington, D.C. last night. Take it for what you will. He's founder and director of Northeast Intelligence Network, an investigative agency, private investigators. And so there it is. I mean, there's a lot in there. There's a lot in there. And I hope you all perk up. And if it's not I don't know. I mean, there's some real humdingers in there. Especially considering what we're about to talk about in the Bible. Maybe not tonight, we will get to it, but there are parts in the book of Revelation, I believe, that I will tell you about, that predict this exact thing, economic collapse, followed by world war, that will usher in a new government. That's direct. And it just so happens that that's what this dude is saying. So, I don't know. Let's pay attention and do our jobs. Do our jobs. Okay? I'm going to wait till, I guess, bottom of the hour to start our Bible study. But to say this is a little bit scary. I mean, I say that to be funny, that effect, but it's not funny. It's not funny. I said this a couple of weeks ago. There are many, well, I don't know how many exactly, but there are definitely people in our government, and how gigantic the government is. There are many folks who believe there's a civil war happening within the government itself. Now, that doesn't mean within the White House or within the Congress, but again, the government is a huge monster. Hundreds of thousands of people are in it. But it seems that with people starting, again, these people are still working for the government. They're not fired or retired for the most part. These stories are coming out from folks who are still there. So it seems to be very valid what folks are saying about there being an incredible battle going on right now as far as what should and shouldn't be happening federal government-wise, what we should or should not be doing, what kind of government we actually have, what should we be in the future, what the heck is really going on. Like I led off the show with, said I think September 11th was a major sign, and obviously it was, that God let our enemies in. And it's a temporary thing. We don't exactly have a 1,000 9/11s since then, but enemies are here, that is for sure. And they're both without and within. And another milestone, I believe, was the 2012 election. That could have been part of our national repentance, so to speak. Obviously, you can only repent as an individual, but to turn things around, to turn the society around, would be to tell the leftists in power to vote them out. We had the opportunity to make a dent there, not, of course, eradicate them or anything like that, get them out of everywhere. It's just not possible, certainly not in one election, but we could have made a dent, But instead, we lost ground, and the left became stronger than ever and is totally emboldened right now to go for it. They are going for it at all levels, and you are the target, Mr. and Mrs. Conservative America. You're the one thing the left fears the most, especially if you are a Christian, a gun owner. You know your Constitution and Bill of Rights. And if you're white and a male like me, you just got it all going on. You're what the evil left fears the most. So let's perk up. Let's get ready. Let's make contingency plans. Do you hear me? Do you know what I'm saying? Contingencies run the gamut. But to continue as we've been going, I think that option is closed. I think the Lord has spoken on this. He has. I mean, you see the result. Things are unraveling. Major change has indeed come. And as America goes, the world goes. So buckle up, my friends, fellow patriots. We are in for a wild ride. These things can happen very fast. It could be a couple of years till it all comes down. It could be a couple of months. According to this source of the story I just read, it could be the 4th of July. All right, so pay attention. And we've been talking about security and making sure your identity is safe. That's why we're partnering at Conservative Nation Radio with a company called LifeLock. We are very proud to be associated with the most effective identity security and credit monitoring service that there is, LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. It helps protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's really nothing at all that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock, go to conservativenationradio.org, click on the LifeLock banner. The network may not cover all transactions, and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationradio.org. Click on the LifeLock banner, if you please, and we will be right back.
I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
This is Frank Beard of ZZ Top for Rad. If you're out partying and drinking, and we all know that happens sometimes, please don't get behind the wheel. Give up the keys to a designated driver. Please don't drink and drive.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Conservative Nation Radio Network. Christopher Manti here with you. Manti Show here until 7 p.m. And we are the resistance here. This could be our final time. So we thank you for listening. 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176. Christopher at conservativenationradio.org. If you want to email me instead, that is perfectly acceptable. Come into the chat room here. If you're listening live on the air, just scroll down to where my broadcast is happening. You'll see a chat box. Log in and go to work. Say what you want. All righty. No problem. We've got a couple folks in there now. Great people, I know. I just know it. So thank you for listening in. Or maybe you're listening after on a podcast or, as we call it, the archive now. Downloading whenever you are able and convenient. I appreciate you sincerely just as much as if you were listening live. You can't participate in the show that way, but I still love you. 718-305-7176. So let's put this all in perspective, shall we? Lots of stuff going on in the world, and one thing that does not change is God and His Word. So I am going to get into the book of Revelation because there seems to be an extreme lack of understanding about this book. And yet, it is the capstone of the entire Bible. It's the key to the rest of it. It really is. And I actually wrote a blog about it here a little bit. So let's imagine ourselves going back in time, about 2,000 years ago, a Greek island called Patmos. Let's take a little trip. Yes, indeed. The book is properly called, not Revelations, or even Revelation. It's called The Revelation of Jesus Christ. Yep, that's the real title. It's not Revelations, it's not anything else. It is extremely relevant for us today, as most things in it have not yet happened. First verse is where the title comes from, and it is instructive in and of itself. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bond servants the things which must soon take place. A revelation meaning revealing or uncovering that which has been previously hidden regarding the end of this world, that his bond servants must know. The various denominations of Christianity have completely and utterly failed in teaching this key to God's word. So are you Yeshua's bond servant? That is quite a bit more specific than follower, isn't it? Of course, Yeshua being Jesus, okay? His Hebrew name, the name he would have actually been called. He was called on earth. Have you ever studied it in your church, the book of Revelation? Not just a verse here and there. Though, in my experience as a former Catholic, the book is never even mentioned. But have you ever really studied it? How about just individually yourself? God is going to hold you personally accountable for it, so you may want to get cracking. So to this end, I will be beginning now to go through the entire book line by line. Darn near every verse in this incredible volume is a reference to another book in the Bible. That's the proof of its authenticity. Now, yes, I know it's full of symbology. This is intentional. But it is not an excuse for you not to know it. The two biggest lies about Revelation are, one, it's all or most of it in the past. There is no application today. That's lie one. Lie number two, you don't have to understand it because you're going to be gone. In other words, in the rapture, be raptured away before it all happens. That's the second lie. Is God telling you right now that you should be interested and understand it? Then let's go, because indeed time is short. So let's go to church. All right. It is the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ. And we're going to go through as much as we can. Here on the Christopher Manti radio program, warning, this is heavy stuff. So grab a drink. And the children, do not hide the children. Please bring them with you. And we're going to do this, all right? All right, let's do it. Book of Revelation, chapter 1. And it reads, first of all, let's pray. Father, we pray for your wisdom and understanding. You, as you reveal this book of revealing to us, to us all, may your Holy Spirit be with us and lead and guide and direct. In Yeshua Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Verse 1 of the book of Revelation. We're going to do this line by line, guys. No cheating. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his bond servants the things which must soon take place, he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bond servant, John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Side note, I'll be interjecting my own thoughts here after each couple of verses. This is telling you that this John who wrote Revelation is the same John who wrote the Gospel of John. This is the disciple who Jesus loved, is how he's referred to in that Gospel. He basically told you he was going to do this at the end of John. Go check it out and read it. He told John to come with him and no one else. He had something special for him, and this is it. All right, reading on, verse 3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. Verse 4. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, that's Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. And he has made us to be a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's through verse 6. Now, again, this is initially written to what is called the seven churches in Asia. Asia meaning, some people say the Orient or the East. Okay? Basically, these, this means the entirety of Christianity. At this time, Revelation was written approximately, sorry, I didn't go over this. Most people say, agree with me, in the 90-95 AD time frame, approximately 60 years after the resurrection. Some people say it was before 70 AD. There's no real evidence of that, but they claim that because they think these prophecies have already happened to Jerusalem in the year 70 and everything is already done. It doesn't matter. As I say, I reject that notion. So he's writing about things in the future, not about things in the past that have already happened on earth. All right, be that as it may. All Christianity was basically contained within basically where Turkey is today and Syria and Jerusalem, obviously. But that's about as far as it has had spread out. And there are seven strains in these churches. Okay, already denominations have started to form. That's not good. However, good news is there are seven spirits before his throne, as it says, to answer that. There are different aspects to the church, you might say. But the people who are in these churches, the church total, are the ones who this is written to. Okay? And each church name has a meaning. And we'll get to that. Verse 5, of course, calls Jesus the firstborn of the dead, which means, of course, the resurrection. Through him we can live forever, and that's the only way. Who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. Okay. Verse 7, and this is how you know that there's a lot in this book that hasn't happened yet. Behold, he is coming with the clouds. And every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. First obvious reference to the Old Testament is right there. That's from the book of Zechariah. I'm sorry, I got to get the exact. Zechariah 12:10. Those who pierced him, every eye will see him. The tribes of the earth will mourn. That's Zechariah and also the Gospels and Paul letters, everything rolled into one. Behold, he is coming with the clouds. That is exactly what the angels told the apostles in the book of Acts chapter 1 when Jesus ascended to heaven in the clouds. He said, guys, they said to him, to the disciples who were left, this is how he's coming back. So don't be deceived. All right? Okay, there's no such thing as secret Jesus return, no such thing as secret rapture, no such thing as he's going to be born to a woman again, such ridiculousness. Any of that stuff is not true. There's a lot happening before that, but the point is, every eye will see him return. Every eye will see him return. Okay, Revelation 1, verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Alpha, of course, being the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and Omega being the last. In other words, I am the first and the last. This is a profound statement. Obviously, that he's identifying himself with the Father. Paul would say Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. That means beginning and ending. Beginning and ending, Revelation being the ending, Genesis being the beginning. meaning he's the author of the entire Bible. The Almighty. He's God. Right? If you're a bond servant of Jesus, he is telling you that he is God himself. The Almighty. At that point, we're up to verse 8. That's pretty good. We'll take a little break. 5:45 now here on the Manti Show. And we'll be back. I believe, do I have a message? Yes, I do. I have a special message to read here. I keep getting consumed with the, I think I'm the only show on this network. I am not. We have another show called Radio Free America. Our friendly local Republican spokesman, Duke Brooks, calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that the anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy and Whitaker Chambers, so what would you expect? Oh my God. This guy's really come out of the pit. Right? Get your weekly dosage of old school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hanger flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks on Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central on conservativenationradio.org. That's Wednesday night, 7 p.m., Radio Free America here on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. And we will be right back.
Congress can make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or restricting the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCSforAutomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, then you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Welcome back. Welcome. Broadcasting live from the Trinity Media Studios.
Here's your host, Manti.
Yes, my friends, it is I, Christopher Manti, here with you till 7 p.m. Eastern. Manti Show, every Friday, 5 to 7. Phone number is 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. Email me if you want instead, Christopher at conservativenationradio.org. or chat with me if you're listening live. Here in the chat room, it's open. Got some people in here. Chat it up. Question, concern, comment, testimony, whatever you got. I'll take it. And we are reading through the book of Revelation here because I think it's so sorely needed. It's, you know, we got to get prepared here. And this is the way God has seen fit to do it. So let's continue if we can. And we got up to verse 8. Just so you are all aware, if you're following along at home, I'm reading from the NASB version, which is the New American Standard Bible, which is an excellent translation, similar in quality to the King James. However, some corrections, and also modern English, which is nice because some of the words in the King James don't resonate with folks anymore. I still love it. I still study from the King James, but certainly not necessary. And this, to me, if you're looking for an alternate version, translation, this would be the one I recommend. NASB, if you can find it. Okay? Just FYI. All right. We've got up to verse 8. I am the Alpha and Omega. Right. Verse 9, Revelation chapter 1 says, this is about the author, or the one who wrote it with his pen. I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Well, okay, he was exiled there. He's saying he's a prisoner, basically. They threw him on an island all for being Christian and spreading the word about Jesus. Are we getting to that point, being thrown in jail for it? We're getting there. Getting there. But not yet, thankfully. So we are still free to do that. So please do so. And again, this is John talking to you, the reader. He's calling himself your brother and fellow partaker. That means he's your equal. He's no better than you. Just so happens that Jesus gave this to him to write. Okay? Now, verse 10 is absolutely critical about the whole book. It gives you the substance. It gives you the background. It gives you the proper dividing of the subject. When are all these things happening? All these crazy things you're going to be reading about. Verse 10 says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a voice like the sound of a trumpet. That was loud and beautiful, is how I take that trumpet. Point is, this is the part to take home. In the Spirit on the Lord's day. In the Spirit, of course, meaning the Holy Spirit, meaning he wasn't eyewitness to these events on this island. He was taken away from that place, so to speak. He was shown visions in the future, of the future. He was taken out of time, you could say, and placed onto another spot in history. What part in history? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. What's the Lord's day? Well, I tell you what it's not. It's not some random Sunday, as some folks have been taught to believe, that the Lord's day is a day of the week. It's not true. The Lord's day, in both the Old and New Testament scriptures, is the day of the Lord. That may seem like a ridiculous statement. Duh. Lord's Day, Day of the Lord. Well, guys, and I won't actually get into it now because I haven't prepared the lesson plan to that extent, but the Lord's Day is a whole study unto itself. It's when the Lord returns. It's when Jesus comes back. the first day he returns is the beginning of the Lord's day. He being the Lord, he just told you, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is, was, and is to come, the Almighty. Behold, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him. That day is the day of the Lord, the Lord's day. Oh, by the way, we are told in other places in the Bible, the day of the Lord is 1,000 years. In the book of Psalms and one of Peter's epistles. 1,000 years. I wonder if that comes up in Revelation. 1,000 years of Jesus being here on earth. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. That's called the Lord's Day. So take it, a word to the wise is sufficient, as they say, but this should get the gears moving. If you've been taught other things about what the millennium, quote unquote, what the 1,000 years is, this was future to John in 95, whatever, AD, after Jesus was here, after he was crucified, after he rose, after he ascended, after Pentecost, after the persecution of the early church. All that is in the past to the Lord's day. He had to be in the spirit to even see the Lord's day. It was so far in the future. Get it? My mind is going back to the book of Luke, where Jesus was tempted by Satan himself in the desert. And Satan took him to a, quote, exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Stew on that. And said, all these kingdoms are mine to give. Just sit on that for a while, and we'll get to later chapters. That will make a lot more sense. Okay, in the spirit, on the Lord's day, yet future, not a Sunday. Now, I don't want to disparage the Sabbath. I'm not talking about the Sabbath day. That's different. Sabbath means rest, right? And we are told explicitly that the Lord Jesus is our Sabbath. He is our rest. Any day in him is a Sabbath day. All right? So let's not make a huge deal out of this. The point is the Lord's day is not the Sabbath day. It's not any given Sunday. It's 1,000 years long. It's not 24 hours long. Okay? So the Lord's day is going to be talked about this entire book. That is the subject of the book of Revelation. It is the subject of this book, the Lord's Day, yet future. It has not begun. To this day, today, June 6, 2013, June 7th, 2013, it has not begun. Is Jesus here? His Holy Spirit is around in some folks, but he physically, he has not returned. Every eye has not seen him on the clouds returning, have we? Is he ruling the earth? Certainly not. Anyway, we'll get into it. Point is, this is so crucial. The Lord's day is in the future. It's 1,000 years long. And John was in the spirit just to see that day. It was so far in the future. All right, let's try to get a couple verses here before we have to break again. Verse 11, saying, this voice that was the sound of a trumpet, saying to John, write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches. To Ephesus, and to Smyrna, and to Pergamum, and to Thyatira, and to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. So he names the seven, and again, they each have very specific meanings. each of those words. Verse 12, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And we'll get to the description of the man he saw in the middle of those seven lampstands or candlesticks after the break. So we're halfway done here with the Christopher Manti Show here on Conservative Nation Radio Network, 718-305-7176 is the phone number, Christopher at conservativenationradio.org. And we'll be back in just a few moments. Please stay tuned.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
The traditional light bulb, a groundbreaking invention in 1879. Other groundbreaking ideas from that time, the whalebone corset, the pedal-operated submarine, and the two-story outhouse. We've come a long way since then. It's time our light bulbs did the same. Visit EnergySavers.gov and learn about energy-saving light bulbs. See, these new bulbs are more efficient than the old ones, like a text message is more efficient than a carrier pigeon. They last longer, too, like how we humans last longer now that doctors use antibiotics instead of leeches. And they cut down on our energy costs, because in our own groundbreaking age of aeroplanes and moving pictures, we deserve a light bulb that saves us some cash. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes, twice a day. I have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
Friends, Christopher Manti Show. I like rocking out this one. Hang on. Yeah. All right. Thank you for rejoining me on the second hour of the program. 718-305-7176, the phone number. ConservativeNationRadio.org is our home. Please visit it. Bookmark it. Tell your friends and family. Know it. Love it. Facebook, of course, we're there, Conservative Nation Radio. My show is also there, Manti Show. Check it out. You have the spelling of my name right on your screen, so don't ask me. Okay, and Twitter, of course, we are lighting it up there at CNR Show. Got some great love the past week or so from some very famous folks, which is awesome. I'll just leave it at that. Excuse me, my My blue moon is choking me up. I'll let you figure out what that means. We are rolling on here, Manti Show. We may actually get through the first chapter of Revelation at this rate. I don't know. We're going pretty good here. Book of Revelation is what we're covering right now until I'm good and done. All right, so let's continue with it. Verse 12 is where I stopped. John has heard a voice and told him to write to these seven churches and name the churches. And he turned around and he saw seven, what it's called, golden lampstands or candlesticks in modern parlance, you could say. It's a stick with a light on top, okay? Seven of them. That, first of all, that right there should bring you back to the Old Testament. Again, the book of Zechariah, but just in general. Anybody have an image of seven candlesticks lined up next to each other? All right, well, keep that in mind. In the middle of the lampstands, verse 13, I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and hair were white like wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. Whoa! Pretty cool. Not your average looking son of man. His feet were like burnished bronze. And when it had been made to glow in a furnace, so this is really highly polished, bronze looking. Shiny, okay? Feet. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. That could be very loud. Also very beautiful and complex. That's just my interjection there. Verse 16. So he's seeing a pretty awesome guy here, okay? In his right hand, he held seven stars. Again, let's point out, this is like the fourth time we're talking about seeing seven of something, right? We have seven churches, seven spirits before the throne, seven golden lampstands, now seven stars in his right hand. This number seven is going to continue to come up in this book of Revelation again and again and again. There's a meaning to that. Seven meaning spiritual completeness, okay? God loves the number seven to bring it all around, to end stuff. The end, the beginning, to the end. Seven, you'll see later, seals, trumpets, vials, okay? Seven signs. Right. Let's continue. In his right hand, he held seven stars. Out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. Ouch! And his face was like the sun, shining in its strength. This is the glorified Jesus. Okay, guys? Here's a hint. Came a sharp two-edged sword out of his mouth. The word of God is a two-edged sword. Huh. That's from Paul. Right? This is the word of God. Jesus is the word of God. He is the living word. When I saw him, verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. He placed his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, the living one. I was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of Hades. Hades meaning the underworld. Some translations would say hell. It's where the souls, the unsaved, are. Let's get into this again. He's describing who he is. First of all, he says, I am. I am is the name of God himself in the Old Testament. He's the burning bush and Moses and all that stuff. Tell them I am, sent them to you. the etymology of Yahweh, the Father's name. I am. He said that also in the Gospel of John when he was being that kangaroo court trial that he was put through. Right? He said, I am. Before Abraham ever was, I am. That's also Jesus talking. It's just so there's no confusion. I am the living one. Dead, behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and the grave or hell or Hades. Therefore, verse 19, therefore, write the things which you have seen and the things which are and the things which will take place after these things. As for the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars, listen up, people. He is explaining the symbols. People get confused. Oh, the symbols in Revelation. What does it all mean? This is crazy talk of a crazy man. He's explaining the symbology. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Okay? Simple. Simple. Just remember that interpretation. The Bible interprets itself. God is not here to confuse you, but he does confound the wise of the world. All right? Seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So when he talks about these things in subsequent chapters, you can refer back to this if you get confused. Got it? Right. That is the end of chapter 1 of the great book of Revelation. That did not take long, did it? Nope. Nope. So how long would that take you just to read through? 5 minutes? If that, and that's really reading it. It's only 20 sentences. That's a good start. We're off to a good start here, Christopher Manti Show. Don't be afraid. Hey, if you're, you know, maybe God's speaking to you. There's only one to be afraid of in this world, and that's him. Fear not what man can do to you, what flesh and blood can do to your body. Fear him that can send your soul to perish. Right? He's the only one that can do that. Nobody else can. Everybody else can just hurt your body, your flesh body. No biggie. These things happen. People die. People are persecuted. They get killed. You're not. You know, your spirit's still around. Your soul. Only God can affect that. So that's what really matters. Do not be afraid. Take heart. We're going to roll along here, and we're going to keep going. And it's, what is it, 6:13 already? Yikers. We have about 45 minutes here left in the Manti Show. 718-305-7176, phone number. Christopher@conservativenationradio.org. is the email address if you'd like to participate that way. No problem. Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff I told you about. Now, one of the reasons we're even on the air here as a network is because of traditionalamericanmovement.com. Let me tell you about that. Now, the leftist media here would like conservatives, would love conservatives to think that we're just a few lonely voices in the wilderness. But do not be fooled. Americans identify themselves as conservatives, outnumber liberals 2-1, according to numerous polls. Even those done by liberals. So if you respect traditional American values, there is a place for you to call home on the internet. It's called traditionalamericanmovement.com or TradAM, as we call our home. Traditionalamericanmovement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up without these turf wars and find out what's new in the conservative community. So join up, find out what's happening, and be a part of the conservative revolution, all on traditionalamericanmovement.com. That's Traditional American Movement, one word, .com. I hope to see you there soon. TradAM is, of course, a liberal-free website, and we'll be back right after this.
I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
Hello, and welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a 5, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong, the lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
It feels like you're frozen, petrified. You're struggling with your mortgage payments. The bills begin to pile up. Not knowing what to do, you do nothing at all. And that's the worst thing you can do. Because if you take action, if you do something about your mortgage problems, you're far more likely to get the most positive outcome. Making Home Affordable is a free government program. Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about the options that are right for you. Real help, real answers, right now. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov and do something about your mortgage problems. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
The Internet's official Rhino Hunting Safari.
Welcome back. Welcome. Broadcasting live from the Trinity Media Studios.
Here's your host, Manti.
Yes, yes, my friends, I am Manti, your host, humble as always. 718-305-7176 is my phone number. Feel free to contribute. I'm just talking about the Bible here, no big deal. Book of Revelation. Whoa, scary. It's really not scary. But it is serious. It is serious, and it is true. So if you remember that part, then you're good to go. Just be in prayer. If you don't understand, pray about it. If you're afraid, pray about it. If you're feel like you're lacking anything at all, pray about it, and God will answer you. Right? Just get in. If you study His Word, He will reward you every time. There's a verse about that somewhere, but we're not talking about that. All right, Revelation. Let's roll on here. It's doing pretty good. So let's continue, shall we? Anti-show here at 7 o'clock, by the way, Conservative Nation Radio Network. Please visit trinitymediaonline.com, Facebook, Trinity Media also, and Manti Show, Facebook, don't forget that. We're, everyone's on Twitter, but the most important one is CNR Show. CNR Show, follow that, please. And I just told you about traditionalamericanmovement.com, our partner. Okie dokes. Right. We're good to go, up to date. And chapter 2. Let's roll on. Revelation. Chapter 2. Now, remember, the Lord just told us that there's symbology going on. There's 7 churches, and they're symbolized by 7 lampstands or candlesticks. All right, I'll give it away. What I was talking about before, again, it was in the book of Zechariah. There is a 7-candled stick, a lampstand, golden. You might know it as a menorah. It's seven candlesticks with oil at the base, and that's where that's the fuel for the flame. And the bowl in the center feeds all the candles or the lamps, right? And of course, and you just read that Jesus was in the middle, the midst of these seven candlesticks. He is that bowl, and the Holy Spirit is the oil. So let's read on. This is important to know. Ephesus is the first church. He's going to address the seven churches now. He just told you that they're candlesticks and that every one of them has an angel, the seven stars. The word Ephesus is actually Ephesos in Greek. It means permitted. Permitted. Right? It's a city, obviously. It had a church there, there's no doubt, but I want to make note of the names. Permitted, allowed, at liberty, you could say, or chosen, you know, just give it a thought. Anyway, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write. By the way, remember, John now is being told by God to write a letter to an angel. Just file that away. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this: I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men. And you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not. And you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. That all sounds awesome. These guys are kicking butt, right? But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent. And do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Uh-oh. So they do good things, but they're not doing them the right way. Left your first love. That's a powerful statement. Who's their first love? Well, that's Jesus, obviously, right? So they're doing it for their own purposes and not for him? I don't know. Unless you repent, that's the bottom line. Yet, this you do have, says Jesus to the Ephesians. Yet, this you do have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Well, that's a whole other study in and of itself. Who are the Nicolaitans? And there's quite a controversy about that, of course. Nicolaitis. Literally, destruction of people or people's destruction. There's a theory that says they were charged with holding the error of Balaam, casting a stumbling block for the church by upholding the liberty of eating things sacrificed to idols, as well as fornication. I mean, literally, it means a follower of Nicholas. So, just keep in mind that God's not happy. He's never happy with idols and sacrificing things like maybe children. Who knows? That's the Church of Ephesus. That's verse 1 through 6 of chapter 2. Chapter 7, he who has an ear, this is important. He's telling you, listen, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Now, that's interesting. Paradise of God, tree of life. Does that get your gears moving in your brain? Genesis, book of Genesis, right? That has the tree of life. Garden of Eden was the paradise of God. Who's the tree of life? This again, this is a deeper lesson for Genesis. Now you can go all the way back to Genesis and realize the tree of life was not a tree at all. Neither was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They were both individuals. Right? Jesus is the tree of life. Satan is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What does it mean to eat of those trees? Let's move on. Revelation 2:8. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna, write, the first and the last who was dead and has come to life, says this. First of all, let's go into Smyrna, because in my state of Delaware, there is a city named Smyrna, not too far from me. And it's very interesting, I think. The word means, well, some people say myrrh. It's a good fig. It's a fig. It's a Smyrna fig. It's the root of it. And again, this should jog your memory. If you're a student, Jesus talks about the fig tree in Matthew, Mark, and Luke when talking about the end of the world and about its being a sign of the end. The fig tree, how it grows and puts forth leaves. You know the summer is near, that the days are near. The days of his return, the tribulation beforehand, and then his return after. So Smyrna, the good figs, play an interesting role. Oh, by the way, book of Jeremiah, the Old Testament, talks about the good figs and the bad figs. There are two groups. And they both come to Jerusalem. Now, I personally believe, that's in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 12. Let's see if that's right. Nope. Right? Yeah, sorry about that. Good and bad figs, Jeremiah 24. Sorry, not 12. I have that. I may cut it in half. Jeremiah 24, go read it. Two baskets of figs, good figs and bad figs in Jerusalem. I think that has everything to do with the parable of the fig tree that Jesus talked about before the end. Jeremiah 24. Okie dokies. Good. Let's continue. That is Smyrna, the good fig. Revelation 2, verse 8. To the angel, the church of Smyrna, write, to the first and the last, who was dead and has come to life, says this, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And the blasphemy, time for controversy, folks. And the blasphemy by those who say they are Jews, but are not, are the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. There's so much in those passages. There's so much there. I mean, really, I could fill hours and hours and hours just on those three verses. There are some of us in the church. First of all, member says, be faithful to death, I'll give you the crown of life. But there's a second death, and that's what I was talking about earlier, that only God can kill the soul. And man can kill the body. Don't fear him. Don't fear man who kill your flesh body. Not a big deal. Some of you will be faithful unto death. Some of you will be put to death for the cause of Jesus and speaking his word. That's talking to you, my audience. Some of you may have to suffer that fate. I don't know. I'm just telling you, some of us will. And on that note, cheery as it is, I will take a break. Let's talk about Patriot Depot real quick. I'm talking about being prepared and things to come. Let's assume you're listening to conservativenationradio.org. You are a conservative. You love America and our Constitution, just like we do. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything you want, from books to bumper stickers to patriotic T-shirts to flags, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Your pipeline to all of that good stuff is right here, conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the best-known warehouse around for all of your conservative revolution needs. So, wave your flag and proudly display your love for America and the conservative revolution starting right now. Go to conservativenationradio.org. Click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. Real conservatism for real conservatives. And we will be right back.
Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or restricting the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances.
Today, you brushed your teeth, you skipped the floss, you combed your hair, you took the train, you did the crossword, you missed 22 across, you went to work, you had a meeting, you ate your lunch, you had another meeting, you wondered how is anyone supposed to get any work done around here with so many meetings. You left the office. You took the train. You ate your dinner. You brushed your teeth. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a brutal EF5 tornado rips through town, leaving 30,000 people without power. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, Doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, Doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, Doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, Doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Is the phone number. This is the Christopher Manti Show. I am he, your humble host, here till 7 o'clock Eastern Time, 6:35 now. And we'd love to have your participation. Now, we got a chat room open here, lively and jumping with ideas. And I want to just give you a sample here just to prove that I can see it. Very good point by our Radio Free America login, whoever that is, that Armageddon equals Megiddo, right, Armageddo, which is a valley outside of Jerusalem. That is absolutely true. Absolutely true. And we will get there eventually, both in the reading of the book and then in reality. We'll get there eventually. So that is a very good point. And also a good point is that some people use the term apocalypse incredibly loosely, but that's just apocalypto is just a way of saying revelation. So no big deal there. Again, just an unveiling or uncovering of what was previously hidden. Right? Right. Easy breezy. So and by the way, yes, we do have some interesting music in and out of our breaks, some First Amendment interpretations, which I enjoy. So please give me your opinion on that if you are so inclined. All right, Manti Show here just for another few minutes before we get out of here. So we already in well into chapter 2 of the Book of Revelation, and that's just crazy. So let's just go over again what Smyrna is being told by the Lord. They are not the same as the first church he talked to. They are not going to be subject to the same things. There is no, if you remember here, there is no condemnation. There's only two churches out of the seven that don't have a problem, that Jesus doesn't have a problem with. This is one of them. Smyrna. He's basically saying, good job, good job, good job. Be prepared for what's to come. It's going to be nasty, but I'll be with you. And I know you have some people in your midst that are not so great. And again, this is like one of the most controversial parts of the whole Bible. It's Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. No Christians want to touch this. And it's so bad because why did Jesus say it? Why would you not touch it? This is one of the keys of the whole Bible, these verses. And again, I won't get into all that because it's just serious studies by themselves. One day, maybe I will. I know your tribulation and your poverty, verse 9 says, but you are rich, rich in spirit. You don't have a lot of money or property, but you're rich with me. And you'll get your reward, is what he's saying. And I know the blasphemy by those who say they are Jews but are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Again, this has to do with the figs, the fig tree, the good figs, and the bad figs. My reading of this is just as we were talking about a second ago, Smyrna being the good figs, there are good and bad. The bad figs are the ones who say they are Jews but are not. What does that mean? Well, again, there's a whole other study you can go into about people who say they are from Judah but are lying about it. That's not their bloodline. It's not their heritage. Phonies. And it says they go to Jerusalem along with the good figs. Did that happen in 1948? I'll leave it to you. There's good and bad. There's true Judah and false Judah, right? Remember Israel, the old 12 tribes in the Old Testament were at one time united under a king. King David and then King Solomon. But after Solomon, because of what they were doing, there were two kingdoms. The Jews, or the Judah, ones of the southern kingdom of Judah, which is Judah and Benjamin, and some Levi, broke off from the northern kingdom of Israel. So from that point on, the words Israel and Jews are separate. They're different kingdoms, different people with different descendants, different destinies. And they are still not back together. They won't be together again until this day of the Lord, until Jesus returns. They are separate. They are very different people with very different locations and destinies. Be that as it may, there are two groups that return to Jerusalem, and this is a sign. And again, if you want to go study Jeremiah 24 and Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, where it talks about the fig tree and the figs, please, by all means, do so. And call me up. Let me know what you think. But it's all tied together. Again, wrapping up Smyrna here, the figs, the good ones. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Now, that's saying a lot there. We'll hold off to later verses. Let he who has near, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. Whoa. Overcomes what? The devil. Just said it. Where's the devil right now? He's not on earth, but he will be. That's part of what has to happen before the Lord returns, before the day of the Lord. The devil is cast out to the earth. Not spiritually, but physically. Why would he bother to cast somebody into prison if it's a spiritual thing with a possession or something like that? No. Different. Tribulation. It says it right there. Devil, tribulation. Faithful to death. Overcomes. The overcomers are mentioned later in this book. Overcome what? The beast. The mark of the beast. Right? We'll read about that soon. Let's keep going here. See if we can knock this chapter out before the show's over. Verse 12. Revelation 2, verse 12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamum, right? The one who has the sharp two-edged sword says this. Hang on. Let's look at Pergamum. Pergamum means height or elevation. Okay? Height or elevation, a place of elevation or loftiness. What does Jesus have to say to that part of the church? Does this apply to you? I don't know. The one who has a sharp two-edged sword says this, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. Uh-oh. And you hold fast my name, and you did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there some who hold the teaching of Balaam, who kept teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and commit acts of immorality. So you have some who in the same way hold the teachings of the Nicolaitans. Therefore, repent, or else I am coming to you quickly, and I will make war against them with the sword of my mouth. Oh boy. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna. Manna is food from heaven. And I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it. This is, again, very, very interesting and a lot of meat there to dig into. So we want to be... careful and considering of what God is saying here. But I must take a break. At this point, it's Christopher Manti radio program. Again, our last segment's coming up. And this is, believe it or not, I'm not the only show on Conservative Nation Radio. We have shows all week long, including our flagship on Sunday. Let me tell you about Soldiers of Patriotism. Like the true anchors that they are, Mr. Michael Smith and Bing Fisher bring you the Soldiers of Patriotism program, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 Central. Dependable is hardly enough to describe our two main men and their awesome show. But hey, it would not be conservativenationradio.org without Michael B. and Uncle Bing. Now, would it? No, it would not. So don't miss our signature show, Soldiers of Patriotism, this Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives, and we will be right back.
I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website, thethirdlantern.com. That's the number 3, RD, lantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Higg and Resch sent you. TheThirdLantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Oh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Welcome back. Welcome. Broadcasting live from the Trinity Media Studios.
Here's your host, Manti.
Last segment here on the Manti Show, 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176 is the phone number. Email me if you want, Christopher@conservativenationradio.org, your last chance here till next week. So get in while you can. Thank you so much for listening. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. And whether it's live now or on after the fact, downloading when it's convenient for you, I'm so glad that you're there and that you care enough to listen in and to participate. And we're just a bunch of regular Joes here on this network who just happen to have an affinity for this. And a lot of great hosts all week. We have crazy connections to conservatives and all kind of reaches in this country. And people are trying to do the right thing. And so it's just a real pleasure to be part of that and a real honor. So I thank you for listening. And please spread the word. I appreciate that. Hopefully it'll keep you entertained, enlightened. Let me know of any question, concern, comment, testimony, or anything else you may have. I'm going to try to close up here, Revelation chapter 2. So we'll keep going on. We'll delve into the specifics of Pergamum. But they have something against them, right? Balaam and the teaching of Balaam, the Nicolaitans and all that stuff. So not totally great. Let's go to verse 18. To the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet are like burnished bronze, says this, I know your deeds and your love and faith and service and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than at first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. She teaches and leads my bond servants astray, so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent. She does not want to repent of her immorality. Behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. But I say to you, the rest who are in Thyatira, those who do not hold this teaching, who have not known the deep things of Satan, as they call them, I place no other burden on you. Nevertheless, what you have, hold fast till I come. He who overcomes, he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces, as I have received authority of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So ends Revelation chapter 2. Real quick, let's look up this last one. Thyatira, right? Thyatira. What does that mean in the Greek? Let us find out. 2363 in the Strong's Concordance, Thyatira. Literally, it means odor of affliction. That just doesn't sound nice. Odor of affliction. You smell like you're afflicted. Right? Somebody who's not had it easy, who has been afflicted with various things. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're part of that church. There's only seven. Everyone who's a Christian is in one of these churches today. Yes, originally they were in the Asian subcontinent, as you might say, or Turkey or Syria. The originals were, but and these names are very important because it's for the time of the day of the Lord, where the church will be worldwide. So these seven are filled up with the entirety of the church. So what part are you? Where are you? If you've enjoyed this so far, hope to continue it in future weeks. There's a good bit more to go. There are 24 chapters, my memory is trying to say. Let's confirm. 23. Hang on. This is how much 22. I knew I was off there. 22. So we're only up to chapter 2. So we got plenty to go. And appreciate your thoughts on it. And I will not, let's just say you can participate in our chat room and check out the thoughts of the folks. And it's very entertaining. Someone just made up a scripture right there. Right, here's a comment from another folk. A church equals a gathering of God's people. All right, ecclesia, right? That's just any gathering of Christians. Correct. It doesn't have to be a building or a location. It's just a body of believers, right? And the church in general, the corporate, is every Christian on earth. So everyone, again, I believe everyone belongs to one of these seven churches of Revelation. Which one are you in? I don't know. There's always escape. You can always get right with God no matter what. But if you're in there and these things are speaking to you like, oh boy, maybe I'm not on the right side of this, or maybe I'm not doing what I should be doing, or being with who I should be with, or any of this stuff, maybe there's bad apples. You know, you got to think about it, pray about it. And again, we'll go through the rest of the churches here in the next chapter. And the good stuff really starts. So I look forward to bringing that to you. Christopher Manti Show is signing off for the week already. Again, this is the phone number to all our shows. So write it down, 718-305-7176. You can always reach us that way or come into the chat room live. ConservativeNationRadio.org always has the latest program that's on the air and the archives of the past shows. So if you wanted to say, oh man, I really, you know, or you're just coming in at the end, oh, I want to hear it again, just go to ConservativeNationRadio.org and click on the name of the show, and you should have previous episodes. I update mine every week. So that's that. I appreciate your participation, and thank you for listening so much. Go forth this week and pray hard, man. Pray hard. We got some work to do. Every day we have a choice about who to serve. Let us be conscious of that. Do the right thing. God bless you all. Now,